This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roseau County Historical Society, one of the many personally written family histories located at the Roseau County Museum's research area is one by Norbert Dostal. He did a great job of documenting his family's history, including his ancestors and his own birth in 1910, and all the descendants he had as of 1986. Norbert was born in Skagen Township near Badger to Elbin and Julia Lubinsky Dostal. After school in Badger and Collegeville, he attended normal school in Warroad and then taught local rural schools. Norbert married Helen Kukowski in 1935 at St. Aloysius Catholic Church in Leo. They farmed in rural Badger. Helen passed away before he did, and his last 5 years were spent at the Greenbush Nursing Home, where he died in 1995. He had 2 sons, 5 daughters, their spouses, and 39 grandchildren and 23 great-grandchildren at the time he died. The book of history that he wrote for them was entitled The Changing Times on the Farm Scene, 1910 to 1986. His book was edited by his daughter Lillian Kuznia and has several nice illustrations by Charlene Kuznia of Argyle, Minnesota, as well as family photographs. One of the many stories in the book is called A Cold January Day and a Cold Long Night. It tells about the night Norbert and Helen had their daughter Virginia. Here's his story. Time flies, there is no doubt about it. On January 24th, 1938, we got a little girl to keep Bernard company. We felt that was great. It was now evident that we would have both boys and girls. Many times during that month we had nice weather, but this time Virginia Ann chose to come on a very cold day. It became evident that she was on the way before Ted and I went out to chop wood. It didn't sound urgent, and I was too dumb to stay home and take no chances. In the evening, it really was cold. When I got home, Helen said I should go to Pa's and call the doctor. I had the team of grays from Pa, and so I left to call Dr. J.L. Delmore Sr., and I came right back with Mother to help Helen, while I drove back to Pa's and waited for the doctor to come. I don't remember that it seemed to be an emergency even then. We didn't have a telephone at that time, but I made up my mind that we would have one soon. We had a great many things to pay for, and we thought a phone could wait. I wasn't so worried right off, but the fact that I expected him to come at any minute nagged me. He hadn't showed up by the time I came back to the folks, so I helped the folks milk, and at last we began to think something was wrong. We called to Roseau again, and then we knew that he was lost, or at least should have come a long time ago. Dr. Jack, his son, said, "I'll come right out." In the meantime, Pa and Ted left to look for Dr. J.L. Delmore Sr. One of them took off down the road toward town, where we generally drove in the summer. We hauled wood that way now, and there was a good sleigh track. At last they came upon his car. It was at the other end of the road just as he got to the swamp part. Pa, who took the road that we expected him to take past Lubinsky's, found him at Bierisi's place, warming himself. Soon Ted arrived, and they all left for Pa's place. They got there just as young Dr. Jack drove into the yard. Dr. Jack said that his dad, the elder doctor, could take his Ford and go home, and he would go with me in the caboose to our place. We assured him that we would take him back to Rosa when we came from seeing if Helen was all right. It was about midnight and had been a terrible evening for Mother. Helen wasn't saying much to us when we came, but Mother told us that she just about wore out the floor. And no wonder, she had never delivered a baby. Ma had kept hurrying to the door and yelling into the wind toward the east, hoping we were on the way, then going back to assist Helen. The little girl was okay, as Mother had tied off the cord. She didn't dare to do more. Dr. Jack, who was just beginning his practice in Roseau, said she had done okay and proceeded to complete the delivery of the placenta. I took him back to Pa's, and Pa took him to Roseau. Ted and I went to get the doctor's car. We hooked it behind the caboose, but the going was slow, and at Elbert's we left the car and I drove home. I don't think I had any sleep at all that night, maybe a nap. I didn't go home till nearly morning when the temperature was down to minus 44 degrees. All was okay, and in the morning, after chores, we again went after the car. When we got it to the gravel, we got it started by putting it in gear. The battery was pretty dead, and we thought that after warming it up, we could start it later. But that battery was dead yet. Again, we started it with the aid of a pull by the team. I took it into Roseau, and Ted followed with another car. I don't recall what car Pa had. It probably was the Studebaker or the Whippet that he bought when the Studebaker flew apart on a trip down south. I asked Doc at which garage I should leave it. He said, just park it by the sidewalk. Later, around noon, we saw it being towed down the street. What a day! What a night! Of course, Mother stayed to cook and help for some time. When I felt that I could pay Dr. Delmar, I went to his office and asked, how much is the bill, doctor? Old Delmar, he really wasn't old yet, said, $500. It wouldn't have taken anyone nowadays by surprise to hear such a large sum. Doc looked at me and then said, about $25. I paid him, feeling that perhaps it was his own fault. It probably was a mutual feeling. Was it Shakespeare that said, all is okay that ends okay? All was okay. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.